This is Corner Pillars, a podcast where we share life's experiences in view of God's greater story. We're your hosts, Christy,
Kimberly,
and I'm Vicki.
The idea of Corner Pillars comes from Psalm 144:12, where David prays that God would make our daughters like corner pillars fashioned for a palace. As daughters of the King, it's our desire to be corner pillars, becoming women of substance and beauty, where our lives put God's story on display. Today's episode is going to be dealing with the Holy Spirit. The person and work of the Holy Spirit is really a multifaceted topic, and we can't delve into all of the, you know, intricacies of who he is. But I did want us to think about who the Holy Spirit is from a scriptural perspective. What a novel idea. Because I think for me, growing up in the church and seeing some excesses, I felt a little reticent to delve into who the Holy Spirit is. So sometimes that makes us shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit. What have been some of your perspectives on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives?
I'm thinking of some things that I've seen in the past, too, that would also, at that time at least, cause me to shy away a bit. When I was in college, I visited a church where they literally, at the end of the service, there was one person laying on their back on the ground and someone over them choking them. And they were foaming at the mouth, making choking noises. And the person on top was commanding demons to come out and the Holy Spirit to go in. And it was quite a show. And I wondered, what is going on? Is God really in this picture, or is something completely different going on here? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's so atypical. And yet, have we seen it portrayed in music or movies or in the media? We see these things and then we think, I wonder what that's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard to discern.
Yeah.
What's really going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I've had what I would consider a really balanced approach from teaching, because I know that I've known people that have been very dependent on the Holy Spirit as that is the central focus. And there have been other people I've known that have really almost denied that the Holy Spirit is God.
Yeah.
And so, but I think I have found myself in some really good teaching that has really put it kind of in the center of balance in that respect.
Yeah. So maybe there isn't all the fear and trepidation.
I don't come to it with a sense of fear, but absolutely a sense that it is something and someone that is important.
Yeah.
And I might circle around too. I feel like I've also had some good instruction in that. But just thinking of, you know, just to the bystander, the person who doesn't have a relationship with Christ, doesn't have Christ living inside of them, what might be some of the perceptions out there that would cause people to walk away? But I too, you know, I know people who I believe just walk in the Spirit all the time. I mean, that's a goal of mine, right?
Is to walk in the Spirit all the time.
And so to be sensitive to him and to be listening to him and to acknowledge that he's real. He's not part of our imagination. He is there within us, directing us all the time. How can we help people understand that better?
Yeah. And I think some of the fear might come from seeing some of the excesses and wondering, is that going to happen to me? Am I going to be, you know, on the floor at a church service and do things that make me look foolish? Because that sometimes, I think, is the fear that God will, if I really give my life over to God, he'll send me to Africa. Which is, you know, the phrase, which means more than being sent to Africa. It just means a phrase of like, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe the fear that we have, that the Holy Spirit is going to make us look foolish in front of other people. And we don't want to do that. And so is there a way to take the fear and trepidation down? And I think part of how we do that is to look at scripture. So Kimberly, I'm glad, and Vicki, and I too have had lots of really good training about this. And I think as we look at what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit, then all of a sudden, it's really about a relationship, and I can trust the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I don't have to protect myself from what he might potentially make me do that makes me feel foolish. And if I am being led into something where I am a quote-unquote fool for Christ, then so be it. It's okay. Yeah.
I was just thinking back to, was it Michael Card who sang that song, God's Own Fool?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that was very inspiring to me, though, back in the day. Like, so what if I look foolish if I know that God is in it? Like go for it. The joy of that supersedes the fear of looking foolish before mankind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, go on. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Being normal is overrated, right?
That's right.
Like, fitting in is overrated.
Yeah. That actually reminds me of David as he danced before the Lord. Oh, and he says, I will become even more undignified than this in order to praise and honor my Lord.
Yeah.
And yet, God's desire is not to make us appear foolish all the time before people, because he empowers us to be his ambassadors to the world through all of that. But absolutely being able to be bold and empowered by him to do what he's called us to do.
And think about how freeing it is and how beautiful it is when you see somebody who really is expressing the Holy Spirit within them. Like, I personally love to watch worship dance. It just touches my heart. Even if it's like not choreographed, but just in the moment that someone who breaks out in dance or waves a flag or gets down on their face before the Lord, like, that inspires me. And I do believe the Holy Spirit within them is directing that. But they're not feeling foolish. They're feeling a sense of awe and worship before God, and they're demonstrating it through their body, which is what God meant for us to do.
Mm-hmm. The fact that we're holistic
beings, indeed.
And we use our body to glorify him.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one particular passage in Scripture, which I think will be helpful to us as we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, comes from John 14, verses 16 through 18. And the context of this is that before Jesus went to the cross, he assured his followers that they would be given a helper to live within them. And at the time, you can imagine his disciples would say, this is a bad thing. You're leaving us. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been with you for these 3 years. We've needed, we've depended on you. We've been with you. We've trekked the trails, you know.
I mean,
don't leave us. And Jesus actually says, it's better for you if I go. And I think, wow, that's, how can it be better? Because we always dream of, you know, for those of us in the church age.
Yes.
I wish I would have been able to see Jesus face to face, walked with him, talked with him. And we think we got, like, you know, second class treatment by living in the church age. Like, I wish I could have seen him heal somebody or ask him a question. Yeah. I want to touch him. And
I want to be Mary and sit, like, physically at his feet.
Yeah, and hear physically, audibly his voice.
Yeah.
So we think that we got, like, kind of the raw end of the deal. But Jesus says, no, that's actually not the case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you think about it, you know, if there's just one Jesus in the world limited by space and time, then he has a limited amount of range to be able to touch people.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, it's better for me to go because now my spirit can live inside of you.
Yeah.
And he can actually be, he can be everywhere all at the same time.
Simultaneously with all of us, all at the same time, those who have accepted that.
Right. And so that's where it is a really good thing. So before he went to the cross, he assured his followers that, you know, they're going to be given this helper to live within them, and the helper would be the Spirit of truth. So let me read the passage to you, and we're just going to point out a couple of facets of what Jesus says is so good about him leaving. So verse 16 of John chapter 14 starts by saying, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." I mean, that's so awesome.
Right.
This is not a limited sort of promise. This is forever. Even who is he going to give us? The Spirit of truth. And in a world full of lies, that's a really big gift. A Spirit of truth who can help us discern lies from, you know, lies from the truth and error from, you know, fiction, all that sort of stuff, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So we see in those verses two really important, actually three. So the bigger component is that he's a helper. The Holy Spirit is our helper. I mean, when people say like God doesn't care, I'm sorry. They haven't read this.
Yeah.
They don't realize that God really does care and he's given us a helper.
Yeah.
What a beautiful gift. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of that umbrella of him being a helper is he does two really specific things. He is the Spirit of truth. So that's illumination, the work of illumination. And he dwells with you and will be in you. Mm-hmm. And that's the work of the indwelling work of the Spirit. Yeah. To help us know that we are not orphans, we are children of God. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the key phrases that kind of stand out to you when we look at that passage?
I really feel like you kind of pointed them out, you know, even as we were going. But I think the idea of the Holy Spirit bringing a benefit that was not there before, that really sticks out to me. As you were talking, I was thinking of Peter and how, you know, he messed up a bunch of times when he was with Jesus. You know, he cuts off somebody's ear and he denies Jesus three times and he's so impulsive and he's always, you know, failing. But wait until after Pentecost. Hmm. And not that Peter was perfect from then on, but think about, like, after the Holy Spirit came to him, the speech that he gave and that thousands were saved because he had the boldness after, you know, he had denied Jesus when Jesus was with us right here on earth. Hmm. But when the Holy Spirit came, he stood up and he didn't care who heard him. Mm-hmm. He proclaimed the gospel and thousands of people followed and came to know Christ. Mm. And so, wow, if I can have that kind of benefit in my life, you know, because the Holy Spirit lives in me, that's what was sticking out to me as you were going through that passage.
Wow, it's a great, great analogy with Peter's life to see that in Scripture.
Yeah.
It reminds me that the Holy Spirit works in our life to remind us of truth. Mm-hmm. It also prompts us to remember things that we've studied, that we've learned, and to point us to how does even the circumstances that we're going through, how does that align or point back to the person of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
You know, it reminded me recently that I was in a situation where I was helping someone else, and I had decided in my mind that I was going to do this thing, and it was not a really fun thing to do, and yet I knew that it would be really helpful, and I'd kind of put it at arm's length, and then I finally decided, okay, today's the day that I'm going to go and do that, and I went and did it, and I'm in the midst of this kind of frustrating, dirty, sort of messy job. And I remember I was having a hard time with it and even just crying out to the Lord, God, just help me to be able to do the practical things that I need to do. And in that moment, while I'm there in the muck of this particular job, it struck me that I was doing this because I cared about the person I was doing it for.
Yeah. Yes.
Not because I particularly love doing this job, because I most certainly didn't. And yet I was prompted in my heart to remember what Christ has done for me in the fact that he went to the cross because he loved me in the midst of my sin and my muck. And yet he chose to do that. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit that prompted that to go, just as you're doing this kind of messy, yucky job. Mm. That you would rather not have to do. You do it because you love them. I chose to do this job for you because I chose you. I loved you. I value you. Yeah. And I chose to do that before you had any opportunity to clean it up yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really powerful as I sat there and
Yeah.
God, you are incredible to have done that, which is so much more than what I am doing here.
Think about God's choice to come down and live inside of us. Like he's living inside of sinful mankind, and how that grieves him when we choose to sin. And yet he does it, just like you were saying, he does it because he loves us, and he does it because he is here to help us with whatever it is we're going through day by day. So the Holy Spirit, I mean, he shows great love and great sacrifice. I think the theological term maybe would be he condescended to us, right? He came down to our level because he loves us.
And we can never say, and we can never say, you don't understand. He lives inside of us. He sees the world from our perspective.
Yeah.
So he did the first movement towards us by doing that.
Yeah.
So then that hopefully, as we mature, we can see the world from his perspective. Mm-hmm. But he does it first.
Yeah.
He always does it first. Mm-hmm. He asks us to sacrifice. But it's only because he first sacrificed for us.
We love because he first loved us.
And it was in that moment that I was able, you know, in the midst of a moment of something I didn't really want to do, that it ended up to be a moment of thankfulness and worship for what he had done in the midst of something that wasn't really fun.
It changes the ordinary.
Complete reversal. Yes.
Right. Changes the ordinary to be something that has supernatural implications.
Significant value to it. Yes.
Yeah. Eternal perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really, I mean, you're describing this illumination process that the Holy Spirit helps to shine a light on truth, whether it's truth in his word or reality, some truth that we're living. And he gives us perspective in our mind so that we can understand it of the significance of what's really going on here. So I'm not living my life just on the kind of smaller story level. I can actually live my life with this larger story going on. And so I'm so grateful because otherwise life would just be a bunch of ups and downs and I'd have a good day and I have a bad day and I'd be like, yay, you know, back and forth with no meaning or purpose.
Yeah.
But the work of the illumination that the Holy Spirit does, he says, your life has meaning and purpose. Even though there's unpleasant things, there are good things going on. Even though there's good things going on, there might be, you know, unpleasant things that I'm rooting out in your soul. There's just all sorts of stuff that's going on beyond what I can even discern. And so the work of illumination where he's the Spirit of truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many times have we bought into lies? I mean, we still buy into
daily
lies, right? I mean, that's part of the Christian journey is to try to discern where am I buying into a lie today?
Yeah.
And my bad attitude, my complaining spirit, my, you know, gossip, whatever sin I struggle with is because there's probably a lie that I've bought into.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Spirit wants to liberate us from those lies.
Yeah. I think of how the Holy Spirit as our helper and the Holy Spirit as an illuminator work together. So we've all experienced this where we're reading through scripture and it's a scripture we've read, you know, how many times before, but something new pops off the page to us. And that's the Holy Spirit illuminating, like, this is what I need for you to take a look at right now. Here's where I want you to learn. And so if it's okay, just this morning, in my own time with the Lord, I've been spending time in the prayer of Paul for the Ephesians this week. And I just love this part where it talked about, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And that little phrase really meant a lot to me, like his Spirit in my inner being. It's that unseen, kind of sometimes untapped place within each of us, but the Holy Spirit is dwelling there. Hmm. And I think about how our world, we think of our five senses, right? I can remember going to kindergarten and, you know, what are the five senses? Sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch. But you know what? We don't talk about that sense of what's inside of me. Hmm. And for the Christian, it's the Holy Spirit. And there's a sense of, a true sense of him teaching us day by day and drawing us to the thing that we need to learn mm-hmm. so that we can grow and be transformed. And I've just been spending a lot of time recently learning about how God transforms our inner being mm-hmm. Back to the Imago Dei, back to his image. And it was very meaningful to me. And I really believe it was the Holy Spirit drawing me to something new about him that he hadn't in the past mm-hmm. illuminated, but today he did.
Mm-hmm. It is him allowing us to see the word that is living and active.
Amen.
It is them, mm-hmm. you know, working together, within our lives to be able to see what the truth of who he is and make applications to our lives personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good word, applications to our life. So it's not just, oh, that's interesting, mm-hmm. or I checked it off my list, mm-hmm. I read my Bible for mm-hmm. the day.
Yeah, or becoming mm-hmm. more intellectual. Mm-hmm. There is a part of knowing more and understanding more, but it is that it is more than just knowing more information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That information starts to change my perspective, and I live in a different way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My life actually changes. And that truly, I mean, that's why he's called the helper. I can't do this on mm-hmm. my own.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as I want to, I can't do it on my own. Yeah. And so even in that, there's kind of a place of dependence. Like, yeah. God's role is that he comes and lives inside of us yeah. through his Holy Spirit. Our role is to depend on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And to be conscious of his presence.
Yeah.
And to seek out, like, sitting at Jesus' feet. And learning of him and kind of starting to see the world from his perspective. So that really is this whole idea of helper is, we kind of think of helper and like an assistant, like,
yeah,
that sort of thing. The word in the original language really has to do with an advocate mm-hmm. or a counselor. And how many of us pay big money to go? And that's a good thing because yeah. I think, especially if your counselor has the Holy Spirit living inside of them and they're gifted in that way, they can really help you understand things. And so what we all need a counselor. And an advocate is somebody like a lawyer who pleads your case, somebody who's going to support you when you, don't know how to like even talk. How to even, represent yourself mm-hmm. before the judge is like, oh, here, I'll take that for you. I'm your advocate. So a legal assistant, somebody who is pleading your case and interceding on our behalf. So how beautiful is the work of the Holy Spirit to be that? That is a comfort to us, but it's not a comfort in the like, oh, come, let me just reassure you in your lies. Mm-hmm. That's not a comfort. That's enabling. So the Holy Spirit does not enable us to stay, dwarfed or emaciated in the Christian life. He's actually working to give us truth.
Yeah.
And the truth will actually then set us free. And he knows that. He knows it's for our good, mm-hmm. even though sometimes it doesn't always feel comforting when the Holy Spirit convicts us or illuminates something from his word. Yeah. Or shows us, hey, this is an area of your life that's out of sync with ultimate reality. And because he wants the best for us, he'll illuminate that for us. So I think it's helpful for us to see that comforter, the fact that he's a helper, he's a comforter, doesn't always mean that I'm comfortable. The Holy Spirit's job is not to make me comfortable all the time.
Because mm-hmm. in showing us that reality, he may be demonstrating to us there are actions that we need to take
mm-hmm.
in order to rectify the situation in some way, to prompt us to act in a particular direction or to take a specific move or to be guided by him in some way.
Mm-hmm. But then he will help us do it.
Absolutely.
That's the other thing. Absolutely. He's not just like, you made your bed, now you have to lie in it. It's like, I'm going to help you take the higher way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he enables us to do the thing that he's convicting us about or challenging us or,
inspiring us with courage to be able to take the steps that we need to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of the work of illumination. Any other thoughts about how God, through his spirit, works to bring truth into our lives or has that illuminating responsibility?
I think maybe just the flip side of that is when you are hearing something from another person or on the radio or media of some kind.
That's a good point.
And you're like, that is not sitting well with me. The Holy Spirit can help us. Like, okay, Lord, why isn't this sitting very well? Where is this departing from your word? The Holy Spirit can help bring to mind, well, because it doesn't line up with this scripture or it doesn't line up with this scripture. And here's the truth that is, you know, is found there, you know, and so he can help us to discern, I guess.
Excellent. And I think you bring up a really good point. So the Holy Spirit brings to mind scripture that we've already put into our mind.
Yes.
No, it reminds me, actually, I don't know that they do this anymore. I'm not sure. But I know that used to be bank tellers, they would study and learn the authenticity of what does real currency look like because they would handle the real thing. And then that way they knew when there was something that was put in front of them that was counterfeit. And by handling the word of God, we do that. And yet we also have this helper. We have the Holy Spirit to be able to help us to identify truly what is the truth of that scripture and what is fallacy.
Yeah. So then when I'm listening to teachers or preachers or I'm reading, you know, somebody's thoughts on a page or listening to a podcast or, you know, reading a blog and somebody is saying something about, you know, their understanding of God or their understanding of reality, if it doesn't line up with scripture.
Absolutely.
Then we have the helper, the Holy Spirit, who can help us to discern that it's not just that it's not sitting well with me. I think it's good when it doesn't. Like that's kind of a check in your spirit. But then I also have scripture that's objective. So that's a subjective sort of experience of like, I don't know if I really like buy that. But then I have objective reality, which is God's word, which was inspired by the Spirit. You know, that's the role of the Spirit. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21 says that.
Yeah.
So what a great gift. We have this objective plumb line that the Holy Spirit gave us, which is outside of ourselves, so that he works internally inside of us to help put those two things together so that hopefully we have, you know, the resources that we need to be discerning, wise men and women of God as we mature in the faith.
Yeah. And we can ask him to help us remember what his word has to say as well. It was just maybe 2 days ago, I was listening to a podcast and it was a nationally known author and speaker, someone that you would see as an authority. And I heard something that I was like, I'm not sure that what this person is saying is reliable from the scriptures. And what it did was, I love this, though, it sent me back to the scriptures to evaluate what I was hearing against what the word of God actually had to say. And in that moment, I was like, Lord, show me from your word, because this is an authoritative person that's saying X, Y, Z. And if I didn't have knowledge of the scriptures, it would be so easy to just sit back and accept that. But what have you taught me through your word? And what else can you lead me to now to investigate it? Should I believe this or should I take another view based on what your word has to say? So, yeah, I think it's good to ask him to, you know, help me, Lord, to discern this thing.
And I think something that is really important about what you said is that the Holy Spirit is going to drive us back to Scripture.
Yeah,
which
for sure.
is the Word, which is the authority in it. In that sense, that it's not the Holy Spirit is not going to drive us to some other source, but it's always going to drive us back to what is truth.
Yes.
And truth is so important. We underestimate the role of truth. But yeah, if you don't have your bearings on and truth, then everything gets skewed.
Yeah.
And it's just so hard to, I mean, it's already a chaotic world. How
well, within the culture we live in, everyone has their own little quote unquote truth. And so it is looking at that this is set and foundational.
On stone.
Absolutely. It is it is unchangeable.
So we've kind of talked about the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit helps us to see truth.
So we've talked about the illuminating work of the Spirit who gives us truth to guide us. And that's all well and good, and I'm thankful for that. But that would be really sorely lacking. If all you have is somebody to give you truth, that feels a little harsh. But he lives inside of us. And so he's a comforter and a helper in that sense that he indwells us. And we kind of touched on it at the beginning that he sees the world from our perspective. But I think there's a lot more to this idea of indwelling, that he helps us to know that we are Abba's child. And when we know that we are Abba's child, it helps us to give up the destructive patterns of an orphan mentality. And again, we don't know how destructive those mentalities are. Like, I have to, if it's going to be, it's up to me. I'm, you know, it's me, myself, and I have to do this thing called life. I have to make this thing work. And sometimes even as Christians, we think God has given us all this information so that I have to put it into practice and I have to make him happy and I have to do all this stuff to, you know, glorify him. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to free me up from that orphan mentality so that I live in light of this relationship. And now it's like, oh, it's not like pressure.
It's not a task list.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have to perform for my Father. I get to live in light of his love. And so what the Holy Spirit does, he helps me to be able to have a conscious sense of my forever relational status, like this unconditional, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so that relational connection that we now have because of the cross, because of what Christ has done, the Holy Spirit applies that into my heart and life. Yeah. And I can now give up what the destructive patterns of an orphan mentality so I can live in light of being Abba's child.
One of my favorite scriptures is found in Romans 8:16. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Just that reassurance that you belong, you know, and we're never alone. We have a place. I feel that it's a very base level human need. It's something we all need to know. Is that we belong and we have a place. And it's the Spirit that testifies with our own spirit that that is true. I love that scripture.
Yeah. Well, we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. And it is the Holy Spirit that comes in to claim us, that says, I live within you. I am your guarantee that this it has taken place and that you are adopted unconditionally here without, you know, giving you back. You are part of the family of God. And it is that Holy Spirit that indwells us that says, this is your sign. This is your, this is who you are. And now I am giving you part of me in the person of the Holy Spirit while you are still here living this life on earth.
Yeah, again, that relationship. I'm giving you part of me so that you can live in light of this larger story that you're not an orphan, you're a child of God, and there are things that are happening in your life that go beyond your comprehension. And we can trust that God is up to something good, mm-hmm. even in the midst of hard things that happen. Mm-hmm. So you talked about being an heir, Kimberly, and that comes from Galatians 4. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son," capital S, son, obviously Jesus, "born of woman, born under the law, to redeem," to like to buy mm-hmm. back those who were under the law, "so that we might receive adoption as sons." So this, the sense of we're no longer just like floating around having to fend for ourselves under the law, but we're now adopted as sons. "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And what that does, it says, "and if a son, then an heir through God." That gives us mm-hmm. an inheritance. Mm-hmm. And we have some rights and privileges thereof mm-hmm. to be now adopted sons. And I've heard somebody talk about this, and I don't have this all, unpacked in my own head. But while we are sons and daughters and children of God, there's something very important about women knowing that we have sonship. Mm-hmm. We have a sonship status, because in those days in the Roman Empire, an adopted son had certain rights and privileges that did not make it a generic neutral children sort of thing, but the word actually uses scripture actually uses the word sons, and that as females we can claim that as our own, and that gives us a certain right and privilege and status before, this huge world that would want to undermine our sense of identity. Mm-hmm. So there's something really even beautiful about the idea of sonship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think also from the passages, he assures us of our adoption so that we don't have to live in fear or live outside of that relational status with the Father. And I know, like, in our hearts, we know that we're sons of God, or we're children of the King and all that sort of stuff. But I live oftentimes disconnected from that reality. I mean, even the whole idea of worry, I don't know. Anybody else struggle with worry? But
never.
No, I can't imagine. So there's these little things that start to now take root in our lives, mm-hmm. and they weed out these areas of really sin, or this orphan mentality where I have to fend for life on my own. And when this world is bigger and I'm, a day late and a dollar short, I worry.
Yeah.
Can I do it? Can I do what God's calling me to do? And I forget that he's actually helping me do the things that he wants me to do. And so I think the whole idea of the indwelling of the Spirit is that I don't have to live in fear, and I don't have to live outside of that relational status, because it's a forever relationship.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it being lost, and I don't have to worry about my identity not being enough, because, Christ is sufficient. So he's showing up with me through the Holy Spirit into whatever situation I'm walking into. Yeah. And if I can have that mentality in my heart as I do hard things, as I do things that are out of my comfort zone, then all of a sudden, life is kind of an adventure. Like, sometimes I kind of like the ride to slow down a little bit. Like, can we have it not be as an adventure? But how boring would life be if everything I did was within my realm of what I can, do in my own strength?
There is, I think, a joy and a thrill to looking at something that's beyond you. I'll make it first person. Looking at something that's beyond me but feeling God has called me to that thing, mm-hmm. then stepping out and doing it and seeing that it is God who is sufficient. It's not me mm-hmm. who is sufficient. And it's because he lives inside of me. He's prompting me which way to go. And it's like an unexpected joy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a joy of obedience. It's a joy of, but it's also joy just of that partnership. Mm-hmm. of his indwelling inside of me that made that possible in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also the understanding that in our insufficiency, in those things that are beyond us, where we look at it and go, I don't know, I'm here and that is way up there and who's going to fill the gap?
Yeah.
Well, he does that. It is the fact that he gives us safety and security, not in our own strength or our own attributes and courage, but in the fact that he is going to make up the difference. And that gives us courage to be able to step into those things that we know are beyond our capabilities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see. I've used almost those exact words oftentimes as I tell people about what I do now for in ministry for a living. I hold up two hands, one below and one above, and I'll say, this is where I am. And for those of you listening, I'm like moving my bottom hand right. And then there's a huge gap, and then there's a top hand. And I'm like, and this is where I saw the organization. I work with the Navigators, and this is where I saw them way up high here. And who's going to fill in the gap? But God showed me early on, like, he's going to fill in that gap.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be up here at the second hand. I have to be available, and I have to let him fill in that gap. So as you say that, I mean, you're just reminding me again of God's work and how he works in our lives. He does ask us for things that are way beyond us, but that's because he gets the glory for that gap.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is those things that become so noticeable because we know the reality of where we are and what we can accomplish and also what he's called us to do.
Yes.
And oftentimes there's a huge discrepancy between those two things. And then when he steps in and says, I know, but trust me, and we step into that and he makes up the difference, then absolutely, it is so much, that is not on me. That is all about what he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we have experiential knowledge of his character.
Right.
It is not just abstract, you know, the Lord is powerful.
He is able. He did it.
No, like, right. Yeah. I have a story.
Yeah.
And that's part of my story now.
Yeah.
And he is truth. And we can see that in the lines of scripture. And yet when we trust him in those areas, we can also see him in our everyday lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So we'll close this very fun talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit.
No.
It's a fun topic to consider how he works inside of us, the comfort that he brings, the challenge. Mm-hmm. And we talked about indwelling and illumination, and both of those things are necessary for real change, which is what we want as Christians, right? Yeah. We want to be really changing, and we need both the indwelling. I have somebody who lives inside of me who's stronger and wiser and better than I am.
Yes.
And illumination. He helps me to see truth from lies, fact from fiction, and that gives me empowerment for change. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So he's changing us by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. And Galatians 5:16 tells us to walk by the Spirit and so produce the fruit of the Spirit. So it's in that relationship, that dependence, that the natural byproduct is going to become people who love and who have joy and have peace and patience and kindness, all the things I can't do on my own strength,
right?
And goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So the indwelling of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer and the illuminating work he does gives us confidence that he can change us from the inside out. He's at work in us. He helps us to know the truth, to understand the truth, and to even be persuaded of the truth. It's not something that I just kind of put over there, but I'm actually now persuaded that that really is ultimate reality, so that then we might surrender to the truth of God's invitational nature to walk as dependent children of the Father. So we need not fear or shy away from talking about the Holy Spirit. Rather, as indwelled, illuminated, and empowered children, we embrace and praise Him. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Corner Pillars Podcast.